In May, I preached a message along the line of being effective as Christians in a post-Christian world. It was a part of the Because You Asked series. And in that message, I talked about one of the things that I felt was going to be important for us to be effective in a post-Christian world was genuine repentance. And since then, I've actually been doing some thinking about that. I actually went home that day, was thinking then, and in a few days after that, I was wondering, why do we talk about those kind of things? And sometimes I think we take for granted that as we talk about what genuine repentance is and the things that have to do with the Christian life, that we know that everyone knows what we're talking about. We sort of assume this, that because many of us have grown up in the church, and you just sort of grow up, and we assume that everyone is understanding what we're talking about when we're talking about things that involve the Christian life. And we talk about a lot of things. Over the last number of years, we've preached a number of messages as pastors about commitment. What it means to be committed to Christ. We've talked about the importance, things that we feel are important to Christianity and the Christian life. We've talked about repentance, like I just talked about. And we talk about baptism, and we talk about modesty and veiling, and we talk about love, joy, and peace, and we've preached about living a consistent life, and we talk about all these kind of things. But the question is, what do those things have to do with Christianity? What do they have to do with Christianity? And so often I think in the middle of all that we talk about, we lose sight of the foundation of what we're talking about when we're talking about Christianity. And so the title of my message this morning is What's Up with Christianity? As we throw that word around, oh, I'm a Christian, or we talk about Christianity, but what's up with Christianity? What is Christianity all about? Is it a list of things that if I do, I'm called a Christian? Does it mean that if I'm baptized and become a member of the church, that now I'm a Christian and I'm a part of this Christianity thing? Is baptism Christianity? Is following what the Bible says Christianity? What is Christianity? And so often, yeah, that's a part of Christianity, but what's really up with Christianity? What is this Christian thing all about that we talk about? Is it just the fact that we grew up in the United States, in America, and we grew up in a Christian home and we didn't grow up in a Muslim home? That's what a lot of the world thinks Christianity is. It's just the fact that I wasn't born Muslim or Hindu or a Buddhist, and therefore I'm a Christian because I just grew up in that home. That's what I grew up in. I grew up in America, therefore this Christianity thing is all about me. Or my parents were Christians, so Christianity is all about me. Christianity goes way beyond that. And this morning, I want to start, I feel like it's a very basic message, but I want to start in the past and talk about where this all started. And then I want to move on from there to where we are today and where it is headed and what it means for us today. I want to wrap up. But where it all started is this. In Ezekiel and also in Isaiah chapter 14, in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, and many other just snatches of verses throughout Scripture, we find out what happened in heaven before Earth started, before there was creation. I'm assuming it was before then. We don't know the exact time that it happened. But we get a picture of what happened in heaven before that time. Lucifer was an angel, a created being of God. He was the most beautiful angel in heaven, and he had the most powerful position in heaven outside of God. Lucifer's position in heaven was to guard the throne of God. That was his job. He was the most beautiful creature in heaven. He had the most powerful position in heaven. And sometime, somewhere, I don't know what happened, but he began to be proud of his beauty and his position that he had in heaven. And sometime along the way, he made this comment. He said, I will be like God. And he said, I will ascend up into the stars and I will be above God. In other words, what he was saying is, I'm going to take God's place. I'm the most beautiful creature here. I have the most powerful position. I have what it takes to take over God's position. And I don't know what all happened in the time surrounding that, but one thing we know is Satan and the angels that joined with him in the rebellion were cast out of heaven. And assuming possibly around a third of the angels that God created that were in heaven at that time were cast out of heaven. Now, in that, as we read throughout Scripture, Satan has had access to heaven. He presents himself before God, as we see in Job. He goes there, he talks to God, he has access to that, but he has been cast out of heaven. That's no longer his place. That's some of the history. What it means for us today. Well, let me say this. That act right there was an incredible turn of events in our history. It set a whole nother thing in motion. There was animosity then between Lucifer, who we now know today as Satan, and God, and it created an animosity. There was another whole set of events that began taking place around that. Then God created Adam and Eve. And the struggle that was going on between God and Satan in heaven came to earth, where we are today. And God created Adam and Eve. I want to read some verses out of Genesis 3. God created them, put them into a perfect world. He created them as perfect people, put them into a perfect world. But he also gave them a choice of what they were going to do with that. And that perfection, it didn't take very long until that perfection was destroyed. And we know the story of that, but I want to read a number of verses in Genesis chapter 3. It says, Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. In other words, he was saying, what God's saying isn't true. You're not going to die. God said that, but that's not true. And he began to place doubt into Eve's mind at that moment that what God was saying was true, what God had said would be true. And then he goes on in verse 5 and says, For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. What Satan put, the doubt that Satan put in Eve's mind, and really what he was questioning is what God says, is that true? Incredible tactic. And it led to her downfall. It's the same tactic that he still uses to us every day of our lives. As we wake up in the morning, we're going to face the same thing. Is what God has said true? Is God going to carry out? Is it true what God has said? Is it true that all that he talks about in Scripture, and we can go down a whole list of things, whether it's heaven or hell or whatever, is that true? Is this really true? And that's the same question that we face every day of our lives. Is what God is saying and has said and is saying to us today, is that true? Will we believe it? Will we follow it? Will we obey it? If we look at our Christian church in America today, that's exactly where we've at. We've questioned what God has said. And you know what? Wednesday night at our business meeting, we were talking about pink Mennonites. And the reason we ended up with that today in our culture, and I'm not talking just the Mennonites, in our culture, in our churches, is we've begun to question what God has said. And it didn't start with that thing. It didn't start there. We didn't end up there questioning what God is saying about all kinds of things in Scripture. We didn't start with those issues. We started with the little things in our lives. And we began to question and say, oh, does God really mean what he says? Is that true? The things that we've been taught from little up, does God really mean that? What he talks about in the Bible. And he talks about lots of things in the Bible. Is that really, does God really mean that? And the list goes on and on. I could talk about lots of things. But before we become too proud about that and say, well, I believe all those things, I'm okay, what are the little things that we have begun to question God on in our own life, in our own personal lives? And we say, oh, well, I can do this. It doesn't really matter. I can do this. I'll still be okay. I can, whatever. I can do this. It's okay. What God has said in His Scripture isn't true. Because I can do this and I'll still be okay on the other side of it. So often we find ourselves doing that. The truth is, I believe our enlightened age, I put that in quotes actually, it's been a way for us to interpret and explain away what God has said. For us, the battle started in the Garden of Eden. For us as human beings, the battle started in the Garden of Eden. It continues today exactly like it was then. The same things that they were facing and struggling then, we face with and struggle today. We can't get away from that. And the question is God, does God really mean what he says? And the second part of that is, which side are we going to be on? That's what the Christian thing is all about. The Christian thing is not about a list of things that if we follow, we're going to be Christians. I can be baptized, I can sit here in church every Sunday, I can do all kinds of things, and I can go to hell because I'm on the wrong side. The truth is, and the thing that we have to wrestle with every day of our lives, whose side are we going to be on? There's only two sides. We can't get away from that. There's only two. There's Satan's side and there's God's side. And the question that we have to live with in our lives, whose side are we going to be on? Whose voice are we going to be listened to? Who's calling the shots in our lives? We can't take shots from both sides. Jesus talks about that. I'll come back to that a little bit later on. But in the same way, not long ago, the men went out to Gettysburg. The fathers and sons trip went out to Gettysburg, and we sat there and looked over the battlefields of where two incredibly large armies came together. And I was looking, standing on the north side there, looking down over the south and looking at the field that the south came across. A wide open field, extremely vulnerable to the enemy fire. The north had a much better position. I don't remember the numbers. But thousands upon thousands of men marched across that field. And let me tell you something, the reason they marched across that field is they were listening to one commander. And that commander was telling them what to do, and they followed it to the detail. There's no way they could have listened to two commanders that day and anything on either side and had what happened that day. You can't listen to two commanders. It's impossible. And so all of our life, all of this Christian thing, is about that, about the fact, and that's where we're at today. We're in the middle of a battle, and we're in the middle of deciding whose side we're going to be on. That's what the Christian thing is all about. Where is this all headed? And then I want to come back and pick up a little more on what I've just been talking about. Matthew 25, 31 to 46, I want to read these verses. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides a sheep from the goats. And you get the picture of a shepherd with a staff, and as the sheep are coming in, he's saying, okay, you go this way, and you go this way. He's separating them and said, you're going one way, you're going the other way. I want the sheep in this pen, I want the goats in this pen. That's the picture he's giving, a shepherd with a staff. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And we look at those kind of things, and we say, oh, those are things that I have to do. But those are things that we do because of which side we're on. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, when did we see you in this way? And he goes down through, and then in verse 41, he says, he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Let me tell you something. We talk about hell, but hell was never prepared for us. Hell wasn't prepared for us. That's not what it was intended for. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels as a result of what happened in heaven. But as we choose what side we're going to be on, in the same way that the angels chose in heaven, we have to choose today which side we're going to be on, which side we're going to fight for. And as a result of that, we'll go with him. But it was not prepared for us as people. I was hungry and gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Then at the end of verse 45, jumping down there, then he will answer in them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's where it's headed. That's where it's headed. That's a picture of what the end of time will be. When time ends for us as human beings, God will, as a shepherd, will weed out the sheep from the goats, the one side from the other. There's no getting around that. That's what will happen. It will stand sure. It is the word of God. But what does that mean for us today? As I said before, we're caught in the battle between God and Satan, between good and evil, between right and wrong. We as people are caught in the middle of that. And we do need to make a choice. We need to determine which side. There is no middle ground, like I said before. We can't take commands from two sides. There's no middle ground in this thing. We're either on the side of Satan or we're on the side of God. There's no line that we can straddle and say, oh, I'm okay because I got one foot in and the other foot's out. If you're trying that this morning, it doesn't work. And Jesus makes that very clear in Luke 11:23. He says it in different ways throughout Scripture. I'm going to read two. Luke 11:23 says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In other words, he said, if you're not with me, you're against me. There's no middle ground there. Luke 16:13 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's no way that you can serve two bosses. So what's this Christianity thing all about? The Christianity thing is we're deciding which side we're going to be on. And then all of life is flushed out beyond that. All of the things that we talk about in Christianity, we talk about purity. Not having sex before marriage. We talk about those kind of things. What is that? Is that just a list of things that we shouldn't do? No. It's us deciding which camp that we're going to take our cues from. That's what it's all about, because God said it's wrong. And the question is going to be, which camp are we going to listen to? That's what purity is all about. That's what this stuff is all about. What about pornography? Backing up about sex before Joseph said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? He had a good handle what was going on with this whole thing. He said, if I do this, I'm sinning against God. I'm not sinning against anyone else. I'm sinning against God because I have chosen to listen to the wrong camp. And yet today, so often, I know circles that I associate with outside of us and a lot of our teaching, it's almost an expected thing. It's almost an unheard of thing that someone is pure when they reach, when they get married. Well, where has that gone? Where have we caved in to that in our circles? Because the truth of God still stands, and we're deciding which camp that we're going to be in. The same is true for pornography. It's deciding which camp we're going to get our cues from and which camp we're going to be listening to and which camp we're going to follow and those kind of things. What about modesty in the way we dress? Why is that a big deal? You know, it's interesting. I just heard a message from James McDonald. I don't know how many of you guys listen to him, but he was talking on holiness. He's one of my favorite preachers right now. Actually, this is a side note. The first time I heard him in person, I didn't like him at all, and I've had to change my mind quite drastically because I love the way he preaches. But he was talking on holiness, and if I realized that if I would probably say what he said in that sermon here, I would probably get some flack for it. But to give you a gist of what he said, you guys claim to be Christians, and you claim to live holy lives, and he says, what's up with the way that some of you dress? Because the two don't match. And really what he ended up saying in that whole message is you have to decide which side you're going to listen to. That's putting it in my words, but that was the gist of his message. And so we can harp on modesty. We can talk about all these things, and we can get out. And yeah, it's important because the question is, who are we getting our cues from in our world today? And you watch people that as soon as a style changes, everything changes in their wardrobe. Is that wrong? I'm not going to be the judge of that. There's no way I will. But the question is this: where are we getting our cues from? Who's calling the shots in our lives? That's what this stuff is all about. It's not about a list of things that we can or cannot do. The bottom line is this: who's calling the shots in our lives, in our life? The life that we're living, the Christian life that I'm trying to live out, the bottom line is this: who's going to call the shots? Because in the end, I'm not going to have to answer about what I wore, to be honest. What I am going to have to answer, which is going to affect what I wear, is who am I getting? Who's calling the shots in my life? That is what I'm going to have to answer to at the end of time. And sometimes I think in our circles, we get it mixed up. And we think, oh, well, yeah, you get it right here. And if you just dress this way, and we're concerned about that, but if you just dress this way, you'll be okay. The truth is, who's calling the shots in your life? That's the bottom line. That's the nuts and bolts of Christianity. Who's calling the shots in your life? Who's doing that for you in modesty? What about our hair? What about music? Music is deciding which camp that we're going to be in. You know, it's amazing to me. I worked in construction for a lot of years. I worked with guys, and I'm not being judgmental here either. I'm just telling you how it was. I worked with guys that went to church Sunday mornings and actually played on the worship team at church and sung spiritual songs and would come to me Monday morning and talk about how awesome church was and how God really moved. But then during the week, didn't listen to Christian music, period. And I watched guys that we worked with from other crews interact with them. And the one guy, the one guy started talking to him about Christianity and he laughed at him. The guy that was on my crew. And he said, yeah, well, I'm not saying this proud because I don't even know why he said this, but he said, I could see that coming from Mark, but not from you. And but some of it is because of we say that we're into this Christian thing, but yet we feed ourselves with music. What about our videos and TV? We fill ourselves with all kinds of garbage that's from the world, and then we say, wow, I'm into this Christian thing. And in saying that, I think sometimes we can get too stiff. But the truth is, if we can sit down and watch a video TV program or a song from the world and laugh about it and say, wow, that was a good video that's filled with sin, there's something drastically wrong, because God hates sin. That comes through over and over again in Scripture. He hates it. So how can we fill ourselves with that all week and then come to church on Sunday morning and say, oh man, we had an awesome service and God really moved, and the rest of our week does not line up with that, period. So are videos wrong? Is TV wrong? I think you all know I would say, no, not necessarily. But what are we filling ourselves with, and who's calling the shots in our life? That's what the Christian thing is all about. It's not about this little nitpicky stuff. But who's calling the shots in my life? Who's calling the shots in your life? That's what it's all about. That's why this stuff is important. Even though the important thing is who's calling it. What about drugs and alcohol? Using things to manage our life. I hear the question all the time, what's wrong with social drinking? What is wrong with social drinking? So if I have a little bit of alcohol, is that wrong? Is it? The question is this. The Bible is clear enough about alcohol that I know that those shots aren't coming from God. That's all I'll say. Because if you read Scripture, it's very explicit that that's not a sin. If drinking a little bit means you're going to go to hell, I'm not the judge of that. But I will say this, if you get involved in that, you're taking your shots from you're taking your calls from the wrong time, because the Bible is very clear about it, about using things to manage your lives. What about homosexuality? I don't even need to go there. What about divorce and remarriage? The Bible is clear on a lot of things, and yet throughout the years, Satan has continually said, has God said, is this really wrong? So is it going to be bad if I eat of the tree? Is it going to be bad if I take a little bit of this, or if I watch a little bit of that, or listen to a little bit of that, or if I do this or that or the other thing? Is that really that bad? Is it really? I'm not the judge of those things, but I know that each one of us is going to have to answer to who's calling the shots in our life. That I do know. The list could go on and on. We could talk for a long time about specifics. So what's up with Christianity? Is it a whole list of rules? Absolutely not. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, it's about us deciding whose side we're on. About us having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and about us taking our cues and our commands from our commander. That's what Christianity is all about. That it's so easy, it's sort of absurd for me to stand up here and talk like that, because it sounds so easy, but yet that's what it's all about. That's all it's all about. It's about me committing. And in the same way that those men met at Gettysburg, in the same way that they committed their lives to their commander and would walk across a field as their comrades are being mowed down in front of them, and they reform a line and keep walking, and the guys on each side just falling to the ground, and they just keep walking, they just keep coming, giving their lives for the command of their commander. That's what they did. Many of them that day knew that their commander was leading them into death and probably defeat. But he was their commander. Fortunately, we don't have to believe that, because we're gonna come out on the winning side. Our commander will not do that. Our commander will not be defeated if we're on Christ's side. But those men that day gave their lives because of the command of their commander, knowing that good chance they would not come out of that day alive. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what it's all about. It's for us giving our lives for our commander. The question is this: which side are we on this morning? We want to be in both. It's impossible. We can't be in both. We're in the world, we're not a part of the world. We're either in one or the other. Today and tomorrow, as we live our lives, we will listen to one or the other of those commanders. As you go through the rest of your day today, all of us, as we go through the rest of our day today, as we go through our day tomorrow, and every day in this coming week and month and year, however long we live, we will go through our day listening to one of the two commanders. The question is, which one are we going to listen to? That determines where our heart is in Christianity. That determines if we're for real sold out for God or not. Which commander are we listening to as we go through our day? Every decision that I make, I will be taking my cues from one or the other of the commander. Every thought that I allow myself to dwell on, everything, I'm going to be listening to one commander or the other. Jesus wants us to choose. And the most dangerous position is when we think we're in the middle. And Jesus said it this way in Revelation 3, 15 and 16. He says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you would be either cold or hot. I'd rather have you living sold out for Satan than to think that you have one foot on each side of the line and that you're okay." Because it's an incredibly dangerous position to be in. You're better off being totally cold than to think you have a foot on each side and that you're listening to two commanders and that you're okay. "So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth." An incredible picture. I'm just going to spit it out of my mouth. I don't want you in that position. I'm going to spew you out. An incredibly dangerous position when we think we can have one foot on each side. This morning, as we're here, I'm very much aware that there are some of us that are here that are completely sold out for God and His kingdom, and we've surrendered to God as our commander. There's probably some here this morning that are intentionally fighting on the wrong side. They've made a conscious decision, "That's the side I'm going to be on." There may be some here this morning that haven't decided yet, and that time of indecision actually automatically puts you on the wrong side, because either you're in or you're out. And there's a time that we wrestle with, where am I going to be? But in that time, until we say we're in, we're out. We haven't decided yet. And there's probably some here this morning that have been sticking one foot on each side and say, "I'm okay, I can get by like this, I'm fine. Don't talk to me about the things, about Christianity, because I'm okay. And I'm not going to listen anyway. I have my mind made up. I'm in, but I'm not in." And that's a dangerous position to be in. So no matter where you're at this morning, I believe God is calling for us to make a decision. Which side are we on? And maybe we've been here, we've been in, but we find ourselves saying, is this stuff really real in our lives? We begin questioning, and some of those doubts are there. And we realize we're on shaky ground, no matter where we're at this morning, we have a decision to make. Who are we going to listen to? Which side are we going to be on? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we're here from many different families and many different backgrounds and many different thoughts of life. Lord, but you're calling us to make a decision about Christianity, about which side we will be on, about which commander that we will listen to as we live our lives. And Lord, Jesus came to show the way and to call us, to demonstrate your love and to call us to your side. And Lord, I pray in the quietness of this moment that you would speak to our hearts.